From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, it's called The Bye-Bye Man and Other Strange But True Tales. Get ready for that. Here's what's happening. Edward Snowden performed a public service in creating a national debate about secret domestic surveillance programs, but he should still return to the U.S. to stand trial. That, according to former U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder. He said that in his podcast. As a National Security Agency contractor, Snowden leaked classified details back in 2013 of the U.S. government's warrantless surveillance of its citizens before fleeing the country. He now lives in Russia and faces U.S. charges that could land him in prison for up to 30 years. Over the holiday weekend, Libertarians selected a presidential ticket headed by former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, who lit into presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump on immigration and a range of other issues. At the party convention in Orlando, Florida, Johnson got his preferred running mate as well, former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld, in a weekend gathering that drew sharp contrast with the major party candidates, Trump and Hillary Clinton, the likely Democratic nominee there. Howard Bloom, of course, in the world according to Howard Bloom. Well, the Libertarians, they could disrupt the election a little bit, Howard.
Well, they're not a serious challenge. What is a serious challenge is that over on the right, there are a lot of traditional conservatives who are not at all happy with Donald Trump. And they are still looking for an alternative candidate to run. The betting today was mostly on Mitt Romney. But the big deal is Donald Trump. This is a problem. It's Veterans Day, right? And we need our vets because the
Memorial Day.
Yes, Memorial Day, sorry. But and an important error. But the world continues to be a dangerous place, and one of the dangers could be Donald Trump. And more specifically, it could be Donald Trump's promises. Trump addressed the Rolling Thunder gathering of veterans today at the Lincoln Monument in Washington, D.C., and he said, when you think of the great General Patton and all our generals, they are spinning in their graves when they watch that we can't beat ISIS. And under me, he says, we are going to knock the hell out of them. And here's the problem. That's a Donald Trump promise, and Donald Trump promises tend not to come true. Mm. Natasha Gehling, who is a reporter who writes, among other things, for the Smithsonian, says in a September interview with conservative radio host Hugh Hewitt, Trump bragged that I will be so good at the military, your head will spin. And Geitling points out that Trump made that statement just minutes after confusing the Iranian Quds forces of the Revolutionary Guard and the Kurds, the fourth largest ethnic group in the Middle East. Now, the Rolling Thunder gathering, Trump was promising the vets that he's going to deliver a big improvement in health care. But he held that rally for veterans. He held a rally for veterans back in January. Remember, he canceled appearing in a debate to hold that rally. And he swore that he raised $6 million. And he also swore that he had personally made out a check for $1 million to vets. Now, 4 months later, that's last week, CNN was only able to track down $800,000 to nine organizations. Oh, now, that's a lot of money, but there's $5.2 million. That's still a fantasy. It's a promise. And here's the last thing. Here's the problem with Trump's promises.
All right, go ahead.
10,000 students at Trump University paid from $1,495 to $35,000 for programs. And they did it because Donald Trump made those students a promise. He said, and I'm quoting him directly, we're going to have professors and adjunct professors that are absolutely terrific people, terrific brains, successful. We are going to have the best of the best, and these are people that are handpicked by me, close quote. But in a recently released legal deposition, a guy named Michael Sexton, who ran Trump University, stated under oath that none of our instructors at the live events were handpicked by Donald Trump, and Sexton gave the impression that none of the teachers of any kind at Trump University were picked by Trump. Now, that's what Trump has in mind for the vets. If that's what Trump has in mind for foreign policy and military affairs, if that's what he has in mind for you and me, we are in big trouble.
All right, Howard, thanks for your perspective. That's the world according to Howard Bloom. Now, something's up with our animals and sea creatures. Listen to several of these stories. A Florida teenager rushed to a local hospital after he was bitten on the calf by a shark. The attack happened in Neptune Beach. Police said the 13-year-old was standing in approximately 2 feet of water when he was bitten by the 6-foot-long shark. What are they doing coming in so close? A possible shark attack reported off of Southern California Beach. Lifeguards patrolling the area off the Corona Del Mar State Beach in Newport Beach, California. A female swimmer was spotted in distress with bite marks on her arms and upper torso area. Officials said the woman was transported to the hospital, possibly bitten by a shark there. And a woman struggled in vain to drag her friend from a crocodile's jaws off a northeast Australian beach. The pair were in shallow water at a beach when the 46-year-old woman was taken by the crocodile, dragged away, never seen again. And what a tragedy in Cincinnati. A very difficult decision, too. A little 4-year-old boy climbed a little fence and then fell into a moat where a gorilla was in the Cincinnati Zoo. It was a horrible story. People were just screaming. Well, the little boy was pulled out of the moat by the gorilla, who put him aside and actually, you can see on video, was holding his hand. The gorilla, named Harambe, which means pulled together in African, saved the little boy. Now, onlookers were panicking. They figured, oh my God, the gorilla's going to kill this little boy. But everybody at the zoo admitted that the gorilla did not show any violence toward the little kid. However, according to the video and everything else, it just looks like the gorilla did what he had to do to save the little boy, and then this is what happened. Members of the zoo came running in. They saw the 400-pound animal, and they fatally shot the gorilla. People are going crazy now. They're going ballistic. It's a tough decision. It's a really tough call. I mean, you've got a little 4-year-old boy there in a gorilla pen. Now, the gorilla has not shown any violence toward the little boy. He pulled him out of the water, set him aside, kind of protected him, held his hand. But you just never know. My question is why didn't they tranquilize the gorilla? Maybe they didn't have time to get that. That's possible. They had to do this, and they had to do this fast. But everybody in Cincinnati and around the country now who has seen this video, they're outraged. You know, for almost as long as people have had cell phones, scientists have been debating whether the devices could cause health effects. More than a decade ago, the U.S. government set in motion a study to help answer the question. In its final initial findings, released this week, the researchers said the findings were significant enough that they felt the urgency to release these results before the entire study was complete. Listen to this. The study found low incidence of two type of tumors, one in the brain, one in the heart, in male rats that were exposed to the kinds of low-level radio waves that are emitted by cell phones. The researchers, as well as scientists not involved in the study, said it was still too soon to draw sweeping conclusions about whether cell phones cause cancer. This is what I recommend, and this is what our guests have recommended over the years that we have talked about this. My sister died of stage 4 brain cancer. She had a tumor on the left side of her head. That's where she held her cell phone. Send text messages as much as you can. Use your speaker on your phone or an earplug, but try not to hold that phone up to your ear or your head. And definitely, parents, if you have little kids that use phones, try to teach them the same thing. I'm serious there. The World Health Organization has played down concerns over the spread of the Zika virus amid calls for the Rio Olympics in August to be postponed. Meanwhile, Pau Gasol is considering not playing at the Olympics because of the Zika virus. The Spanish basketball player said there's too much uncertainty about the situation in Brazil, and anyone going to Rio de Janeiro for the game should think about it, whether it's worth the risk. Dr. Gary Ridenour with us. Gary, what do you think of that? He doesn't want to go.
Well, I don't blame him. And the World Health Organization saying that it's fine to go is that so Zika will be spread all over the planet from those tourists, and they will get billions in dollars to try and fight it. The Bill Gates Foundation and a company called Intrexon are heavily invested with 26 very, very rich investors that are now letting loose the altered mosquitoes. And once people find out that the mosquitoes aren't working, Gates and all these people will dump their stock for hundreds of millions of dollars in profit.
Jeez. Do you think it's all about money?
It is. I just fell into this last night and couldn't believe that the amount of money that's being invested into this just to make a profit out of it.
Unbelievable. All right, Gary, that's as scary as the virus itself. A disfiguring tropical disease sweeping across the Middle East as a combination of heavy conflict and a breakout of healthcare facilities in occupied areas, swaths of people vulnerable to the illness. It's caused by a parasite in the bloodstream transmitted through sandfly bites. This disease can result in horrible open sores as well as disfiguring skin lesions. I had a chance to look at some of these pictures. They are horrible. People's noses are being eaten. It's unbelievable. Tonight, Earth and Mars will become cosmetically cozy. Cosmically cozy, too. The two will be their closest in a decade, separated by just 47 million miles. Memorial Day services held all around the country in honor of the men and women service members who have made the ultimate sacrifice to protect our country. Years ago, I recorded this rendition, our tribute to Memorial Day, called A Soldier Died Today. He was getting old and punchy, and his hair was falling fast, and he sat around the Legion telling stories of the past, of a war that he had fought in, and the deeds that he had done, and his exploits with his buddies. They were heroes, everyone. And though sometimes to his neighbors his tales became a joke, all his buddies listened, for they knew whereof he spoke. But we'll hear his tales no longer, for old Bob has passed away, and the world's a little poor, for a soldier died today. And now he won't be mourned by many, just his children and his wife, for he lived an ordinary, very quiet sort of life. He held a job, he raised a family, quietly going on his way, and the world won't note his passing, though a soldier died today. You know, when politicians leave this earth, their bodies lie in state, while thousands note their passing and proclaim that they were great. Papers tell of their life stories from the time that they were young. But the passing of a soldier, it goes unnoticed and unsung. The politician's stipend and the style in which he lives are sometimes disproportionate to the services that he gives. While the ordinary soldier who offered up his all is paid off with a medal, perhaps a pension, small, so it's easy to forget them, for it was so long ago that our Bobs and Jims and Johnnies and Jessicas went to battle, but we know. It was not the politicians with their compromise employees who won for us the freedom that our country now enjoys. Now, should you find yourself in danger with your enemies at hand, would you really want some cop-out with his ever-waffling stand? Or would you want a soldier who has sworn to defend his home, his kin, his country, and fight until the end? It was just a common soldier, and his ranks are growing thin, but his presence should remind us that we may need his like again. When his countries are in conflict, then we find the soldier's part is to clean up all the troubles that the politicians start. If we cannot do him honor while he's here to hear the praise, then at least let's give him homage at the ending of his days. Perhaps just a simple headline in the paper that might say, "Our country is in mourning for a soldier died today." I do hope over the weekend that you took a little bit of your time from whatever you were doing to remember our fallen soldiers, our men and women who have given their lives for us, for our freedom, to be sure. Our Coast to Coast guest, Mark Dice, went out on the streets today and talked to people about Memorial Day, asking them the question, what is Memorial Day? What's it mean to you? Most of the people he interviewed had no idea what Memorial Day was. That's shocking and disappointing. Well, you know what it's all about, so make sure that you have told your friends and family what it's all about as well. In a moment, our client, our friend, our sponsor, our partner, Ben Fuchs from criticalhealthnews.com joins us. I want to give you the number now that you can call for information. It's not to get on the show, but for information, it's 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO, the website criticalhealthnews.com. You're going to hear lots about that the next couple hours. We're here to help you. I've got a handful of emails, and I've got Pharmacist Ben next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. For the next hour and a half, we're going to be talking with Pharmacist Ben. We'll be taking your phone calls in a few minutes for the rest of the hour as well to help you. He is with the CriticalHealthNews.com team. As I told you, they are sponsors and partners with us. They've been doing it for a couple of years now. Toll-free number is 1-855-949-RADIO and then CriticalHealthNews.com. Pharmacist Ben, of course, is not a doctor. He's a pharmacist. Big difference, Ben, isn't there?
Pharmacists take orders.
Well, I've known a few pharmacists who give orders.
Yeah, but our job is to execute.
That's right.
That's what we do.
Indeed, indeed. How have you been?
I've been great. Good to talk to you again, George.
Me too. It's always a pleasure. You help so many people. I've got to tell you, I've watched this grow since you've been doing this with us, Ben. And now I'm getting emails. I'm getting flooded with emails from folks who obviously can't get through on the phone lines with questions. So I've got a lot of those for you, too, as we talk about this. But there seems to be a growing concern by people of a suspicion of government, of the FDA, pharmaceuticals. Why is that?
Because you can only screw around with people for so long. You know, eventually people get wise. Not only that, but we're evolving. You know, our society's evolving, our culture's evolving, human beings are evolving, we have access to more information. I heard a statistic the other day from Google that said that every 2 days, we accumulate as much energy as we did from the beginning of recorded history. Every 2 days, George. That's how much information we're accumulating. So the amount of data that's out there now, it's hard to hide secrets. You've got the internet and you've got video everywhere. I mean, the thing with cops, you know, everybody videoing cops harassing people and beating people up, that would happen even 10 years ago. So our ability to access data and information has exploded so exponentially. You know, that's a very interesting phenomenon too, by the way. We can't see exponential growth. The brain can't process exponential growth. The brain can only process additive growth. So things that grow exponentially, we don't notice. And so technology is growing exponentially, and our ability to understand the human body is growing exponentially, and our national debt is growing exponentially. So many things are growing exponentially, but we don't know it. So a lot of the reason for our growing distress with government is the fact that there's so much out there now, it's hard to ignore it. As far as the human body goes, there's so much information now about adverse effects and side effects and drug companies fraudulently manipulating the data and all of these ways that we are made to dance like puppets on a string through not just government but also through healthcare and through medical care and through the IRS and the legal system and the political system. All of these ways, eventually people, you know, they get ticked off.
Yeah, they do. My mother turned 87 over the weekend, and I asked her.
That's awesome.
I said, Mom, I'm going to ask you this question. How old do you feel? Now, you know, I'm saying this to an 87-year-old woman.
Right.
And she said, Georgie, honest to God, I feel like I'm in my 40s.
Wow.
And isn't that amazing?
Wow.
And she was the one, Ben, when I was younger, when I went into broadcasting when I was 19, and as I kept going, she would clip out articles, she would mail me articles wherever I ended up about health-related stories and issues. She was so cutting edge.
Wow. And back in the 60s and 70s?
Yeah, and that's what taught me.
Did they call her a health nut?
No, nobody did. Okay, nobody did, and I sure didn't. That's for sure.
They used to say, if you like nutrition or vitamins or minerals or exercise, they called you a health nut. Remember when Jack LaLanne was considered really strange?
Oh, yeah. I sure do. I sure do. And Bragg, remember him?
Bragg, right.
Patricia Bragg's father.
And today, they would just be considered alternative medicine practitioners.
Yeah.
Back then, we considered them to be oddballs.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Ben, you stick with us. We're going to take this quick break, and we're going to come back. We're going to answer phone calls for the rest of the night, for the next hour and a half, that is. Pharmacist Ben with us from CriticalHealthNews.com, CriticalHealthNews.com. And again, his toll-free number is 1-855-949-7234. It's time for you to get healthy, especially with summertime coming up right around the corner. My gosh, we're going into June in a couple days. So we'll be back in a moment with Pharmacist Ben on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Pharmacist Ben with us, along with the CriticalHealthNews.com team. Obviously, our partners and sponsors, you hear them all the time. They're all over the place. You folks continue to grow, Ben.
Well, you know what? The stuff works. I've been doing this now, George, for 20 years. I can't even begin to tell you the number of people that I've seen have turnarounds that you would think John of God was doing. I mean, the kind of things that sound miraculous. People losing 100 pounds, 150 pounds, people who were in walkers not being in walkers anymore, people who had were going to have their legs amputated not having their legs amputated, people off of a dozen medications. George, I got a text last week from a guy who had stage 4 cancer, and now he's cancer-free. And I'm not telling you that this is miraculous. I'm telling you that when you give the body the raw materials that it needs, in conjunction with lifestyle strategies like eliminating toxicity and exercising and breathing correctly, the body is a miraculous quantum healing system. It heals like a snap of a finger. It begins the healing process like you snap your finger. The body turns on a dime if we can turn on a dime.
That's
the body can
absolutely.
Turn on a dime if we can turn on a dime.
I've always looked at a body like a car. Bring it in for maintenance before it breaks down.
Well, yeah, it's like that in the sense that you need to take care of it, but it's magical in the sense that things happen at the quantum level instantaneously. Healing can occur instantaneously at the quantum level. And this is a sea change in how we look at the body that's only really hasn't even gotten hold yet. You know, we're in the age of medical classical physics. Classical physics posited that all systems could be broken down into their individual parts. Around the early 1900s, Albert Einstein came out, a bunch of physicists came out, and they said, no, the body is, not the body, but reality is a coherent, holistic system. If the reality is like that, the body is like that as well, which means you cannot interfere with the processes with pharmacology and with devices and with surgeries and with radiation and with removing organs and not expect to pay a price. On the other hand, if you give the body the raw materials that it's evolved to use over the course of millions of years that are not only don't interfere with the body systems, but nourish it and sustain it and feed it in conjunction with simple little techniques like breathing and moving your body around, give the body what it needs, not try to target specific systems or remove specific organs, but just give the body what it needs, and it will do the rest. It's a magical, divine system that we can't even begin to understand, but we don't need to. Give the body the raw materials in terms of the mighty 90 essential nutrients that we talk about all the time on this program, and you can find out all about it at criticalhealthnews.com. Give the body the basic nutrients. Give the body clean food, and not a lot of it, by the way. Make sure you're breathing correctly. Make sure you're exercising, and make sure you're practicing long, luscious, relaxing rest. The body will do the work.
Dale from Utah writes, I'm at 350 pounds, George. I'm 58. I'm trying to get back down to 220. I'll probably need skin removal via surgery if I lose the weight. What are your thoughts on that?
Well,
350 pounds.
You know, that's depending on how big he is. I assume he's not that big a guy because he said he wants to get down to 220.
Even if he's 6 feet.
Yeah, figure he's 6 feet, 6'2", something like that. That is a serious problem. But it's more of a problem at the causal level. It's not like you just want to get rid of the weight. You want to get rid of the biochemistry that's causing the weight problem. And the biochemistry that's causing the weight problem is based on three major points. And I call this the triangle of disease because you can apply it to all health challenges. All diseases, the digestive system, the blood sugar system, and the stress system, which is based in the adrenal glands and the thyroid. Between these three systems, correcting these three systems, all disease can be reversed. And between these three systems, you have the causes of all disease. Now, he didn't mention any diseases. He just said he wants to lose weight, but the weight itself is a manifestation of biochemical processes underneath that are akin to disease. So what this gentleman has to do is, point number one, focus on digestive health. Actually, working backwards, focus on the stress response. George, this is one of the major reasons why people can't lose weight. Elevated stress
hormones. Under condition of elevation stress hormones, the body will not lose the weight, because to the body, cortisol, stress hormone, represents starvation or potential starvation, represents potential famine. So it's one of the responses of the body's stress system is weight gain. For people who can't lose weight, that's where you want to focus. Number two, the second point on the triangle is the blood sugar system. You've got to stabilize the blood sugar. And this is where nutrition really plays a major, major role, especially supplements like chromium and vanadium. This is one of Dr. Wall's most brilliant insights, by the way, was blending chromium and vanadium for blood sugar, and he was way ahead of the curve on this. Now we know vanadium wasn't even considered an essential nutrient until very recently, but Dr. Wall's been talking about it for two decades at least.
Oh, he's been so far ahead of the curve.
So far ahead of the curve. He developed a product called Sweeties, which is made with chromium and vanadium, two miracle minerals that are deficient in the standard American diet, significantly deficient in the standard American diet, and play a major role in how the body processes sugar. Chromium is also very important for how the body processes fats, etc. So just one simple product can make a huge, huge difference in blood sugar control and ultimately in weight. Selenium is also important, and you can find all these at criticalhealthnews.com or call 855-949-7234. All these kinds of products that we're talking about. And then lastly, focus on digestive health. One of the major problems with digestive health issues is we don't absorb our nutrients. This is why liquid nutrients are so important. This is another one of Doc's brilliant insights, by the way. He understood that by putting nutrients in liquids, they become much more readily absorbed. And this is something we learn in pharmacy school. You know, the fastest way to absorb something into the blood is through is intravenously. But
who wants to go that way?
Who wants to go that route, right? Although now they have IV nutrient bars. At least here in Colorado, they've got a bunch of these IV nutrient bars sprouting up, and they're not a bad idea.
Wait, people sit in there and they get an IV stuck in them?
IV nutrition.
And they just sit there?
Yeah, they just sit there. But
that's the kind of bar I don't want to go into.
Well, aside from, you know, that's not totally practical for most people, liquid nutrition is rapidly absorbed by the body. And here's something very interesting about diabetes and blood sugar issues. The nutrients that help us process sugar, George, are water soluble as opposed to fat soluble. That means they dissolve in water, which means every time you go to the bathroom, you lose your blood sugar controlling nutrients, especially the B vitamins and the electrolytes. So replacing your nutrients, your water soluble nutrients throughout the day is a key strategy for dealing with, well, pretty much all health issues, but especially for blood sugar issues, and especially if you have digestive problems and you're not absorbing your nutrients. And that's the Beyond Tangy Tangerine, which I was just talking to Tom, your producer, and he tells me he sips on it every day. I sip on it every day. You can do it. I recommend people sip on it every day, but you could do it first thing in the morning.
Yeah, he loves it.
When you get up first thing in the morning, your blood sugar tends to be higher first thing in the morning, especially if you have diabetes. Well, think about it, George. If your B vitamins and your electrolytes are water soluble and you go to the bathroom two or three times or once even in the middle of the night, you wake up in the morning, you're deficient in the very nutrients that help your body process sugar. So of course your blood sugar is going to be higher. So doing liquid nutrients first thing in the morning can be an excellent strategy for folks who are dealing with blood sugar problems and digestive problems that precede those. So between these three points, George, the relaxing the body, reducing the effects or reducing the levels of stress hormones, stabilizing your blood sugar, working on the digestive system and making sure you're flooding the body with nutrients, particularly if you have Crohn's disease or IBS or some kind of digestive problem that compromises your absorption, can make such a significant difference, especially for weight problems, because one of the great gifts of the human body, George, is the sicker we are, the faster we turn it around. And the more weight we need to lose, the faster it drops off. That is, to me, that's such a marker of the beneficence of the divine force in the human body. The sicker we are, the faster we turn it around. And the more weight we need to lose, the faster the pounds drop off. So for a gentleman like this, if he got on the Healthy Start Pack and started to practice changes in the way he ate and ate a significantly amount of less calories, not necessarily because calories cause weight gain, but because calories cause stress on the body. In fact, George, this is one of the great benefits of nutritional supplementation. They allow you to get nutrition without the calories. We don't make
that. You can't beat that.
We don't, right? We don't make that distinction. We think food is food. No, food is made up of two compartments, calories and nutrition. And today, over the last 150 years and progressing at a faster and faster clip, we've discovered how to separate the calories from the nutrition. So we're all subsisting on calories without nutrition. So eating less food allows you to drop your calories, and supplementing allows you to get that nutrition. Not that you don't want whole foods, you definitely do, but you don't want lots of calories. Calories represent work, they represent heat, they represent burden on the body. But we have an empire of food. We live in an empire of food. We're encouraged to eat at every turn, through commercials and through restaurants and socialization, everywhere. We're told to graze all day. So we're told to do the very things that our body doesn't want to have happen to it, specifically around food and eating behaviors.
All right, let's go to the phones now. And if you don't get on this hour, because we don't have that much time, we're doing this next hour with Pharmacist Ben as well. Let's go to Mick in Madison, Wisconsin, to get things started on the Wild Card Line. Hey, Mick, go ahead.
Hey, Mick.
How's it going, George and Ben?
Good, Mick.
Just got to say, I love the Bright Side radio show that Ben does.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, not a problem at all. I just wanted to mention, I have a question about if you have any insight to why I lost my sense of smell 4 to 5 years ago. I was about 15 at the time, and I've been told since, probably caused by nasal polyps. But the interesting part is, I actually had a case of sinusitis about 3 or 4 months ago. I actually got my sense of smell back for roughly 2 to 3 weeks. But I lost it ever since. Do you have any answers to that possibly?
Never heard of that, Ben.
That's very interesting. Now, do you, as far as the nasal polyps go, do you have a history of polyps or diabetes or digestive issues or anything like that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I actually don't. I don't have any of those issues.
Any
I was overweight for a lot of my life.
Okay, well, that would be a blood sugar issue, and polyps are associated with blood sugar problems. I'd be looking for other health problems in the body. That would be first of all. It's very interesting that it came back. A lot of times...
It's gone. Once it's gone, it's gone, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of times when the body is healing itself, when it's recovering from something, it secretes anti-inflammatory hormones and anti-inflammatory chemicals. And so you may have had a temporary surge in that, which would imply that there's some kind of inflammatory process that's going on in there. I'd be looking at a couple things. First of all, as I say, if you have any other health challenges, you want to address those, particularly digestive health challenges, because as I was saying earlier, if you have a digestive health issue, you're not going to be absorbing nutrients. So focus on that. Secondly, there's an interesting relationship between zinc and olfactory sensation, and zinc deficiency is very common, and zinc is also going to be utilized or burnt up, if you will, if you have blood sugar problems. So I'd be getting on a good zinc supplement and, of course, the Healthy Start Pack to get all of your basic nutrients, your Mighty 90, and then working on digestive health issues, particularly if you have digestive health problems or if you have a history that way.
And smell has a lot to do with sensory cells, right, in his system.
Oh, the smell, the sense of smell is the oldest sense, and it is so amazing.
And is it tied into the brain?
Oh, my God, yes. A molecule, a tiny molecule, which is so infinitesimal, there's like 6 quintillion of them in a glass of water. I mean, ridiculously small. But the body, the nose has these cells that can actually pick up a molecule, and that molecule will sit in the cell like a plug sits in a socket, and it will initiate a stream of chemical reactions that's something like that game Mousetrap. Remember the game Mousetrap where this got turned into that?
Yeah.
That's what happens, how the sense of smell works, really all the senses. But with the sense of smell, one molecule will sit into a cell like a plug sits into a socket and initiate this whole mousetrap kind of system that will finally kick into the brain and get turned into some kind of chemistry that will trigger a memory from when you were 2 years old or 3 years old in your grandmother's house and she was baking cookies.
Ben, let me ask you this.
Yes.
With everything that's been happening to people worldwide, all kinds of situations, we are not getting the nutrients from food,
no.
Are we?
No. We process them out, number one. We farm them out, number two. We cook our foods. You know how many of us are snacking all day on snack bars and on chips and bars? And
junk.
Junk foods. You go to an office and there's always going to be a jar of candy sitting at the... on the desk, or you know, I go to trade shows for chemistry, and I see all these big chemical companies. They all got Snickers bars and Mars candy bars, etc., because they know that's going to attract people to their booth. You know, here's the problem, George. We have a brain that loves rewards. We are hardwired to love rewards. In fact, there's chemistry in your brain called reward chemistry. And specifically, there's a brain chemical called dopamine. I don't know if you ever heard of this, right?
Oh, yeah,
okay?
Absolutely.
Dopamine is secreted when you have when you feel like you won the lottery. But dopamine is also secreted when we eat food. So what ends up happening is we eat food to feel like we won the lottery. And so we use food not for nourishment, nutrition. We use food to feel like we won the lottery. And there's specific chemicals in food that can be processed in to make the food more reward-stimulating, more dopamine-upregulating. And you better believe there are scientists, some of the greatest minds in the world, are at these laboratories that are fueled by the drug companies and by the pharmaceutical by the food companies. The pharmaceutical companies and the food companies, where they have the greatest PhDs in the world looking for chemicals that will hit that dopamine hot button so you'll feel a reward. But here's the thing, George. You can feel a reward by doing something. You can feel a reward by finishing a project. You can feel a reward by helping somebody, by having gratitude. You can feel a reward in all these multiple ways. Food is not the only way that we feel reward, but because there's so much money to be made in food, we've created an economic system that needs us to have to buy their products. So we're induced at every turn to eat. If you want to do one single thing to master your health, to take control of your health, it is to pay attention to food and start to regard the drive to eat as something that we are conditioned, hypnotized, manipulated to perform, not for us, but for some corporate interest or some a huge multinational corporation like Nestle or Kraft or one of these big companies, Hormel, that it's very lifeblood depends on us participating in this behavior. They don't need us to live. They just need our money. And so what ends up happening is we eat the food, and then we get sick, and guess where we go to? The drug company.
That's right. It's a club.
All the same people.
That's a club. Let's go to Sarah in Wellington, Ohio. Hi, Sarah. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Ben. It's an honor.
Hi.
Okay. I've been tested for everything under the sun. I've had blood panels to where the phlebotomists were like, oh, my God, I've never seen somebody come through at once. I had an MRI and a CAT scan. I live my life with vertigo that comes and goes daily.
Frustrating.
I finally had an EMG done, and the eighth nerve in my ear doesn't send the right responses to my brain. So it says that I'm moving when I'm sitting still.
Okay.
And my doctor finally diagnosed me with Meniere's.
Okay.
Well, he wants to put me on Valium, and I will not take it, period, because I'm not going to live my life on Valium. Is there anything you can give me to
Heck yes.
Okay.
Your vertigo is caused by one thing. And you can call it Meniere's disease, you can call it whatever you want, but it's caused by one thing. All right? It's called inflammation. All right? Inflammation can basically be thought of as a beaver's dam. It's like one of the ways the body sequesters a troublesome, problematic area. It's a protective response. In fact, inflammation is the calling card of the body's immune system, which is the defense system. So when you have an inflammatory response, and vertigo is a classic example of an inflammatory response in the inner ear, you're looking at something that's getting into the body that shouldn't be there. Something is attacking the body, and it's activating this defense system, the immune system, and it's manifesting as inflammation. Now, unless you're injecting it through your skin, you're an IV drug user, or maybe perhaps vaccines, the major way things get into the body is through foods.
Hold your thought right there, Ben. We're going to hit the break. We'll come back. Sarah will answer that question and hopefully give you some more advice.